prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff, and this is where faith and reason coexist.
This is when they smash into each other like right. The Hadron Particle Collider,
you know,
threw
when
them
said
together.
Smash, that's exactly what I thought of.
Heck
the
yeah.
Hadron Collider.
We like smashing stuff. So today,
like
it's
all sciencey and stuff.
It's, well, speaking of science, It's almost Christmas.
It is.
We are going to be talking about Christmas today. Christmas myths. Christian Christmas myths.
Okay, yeah. Because there are a lot of Christmas myths.
Let's just say this right off the bat, okay? If you love the traditional Christmas stories, Do not listen to this show today.
Or just forget about everything that you've learned.
Because you're not going to... We had a lady leave our church because of one of these myths today. We told her, actually, you know, traditionally, this is what people teach about Christmas. Here's what actually probably is the truth. And it made her so mad she never came back
People need to have an open mind, because here's the thing. People want to correlate our current society with society back then. They want to just kind of cram it in there and say, oh, look, it fits.
That's right.
And it doesn't.
So we've got at least we've got six Christmas myths we're going to debunk or go over today. We also have a Bible, Christmas Bible contradiction and a book recommendation. You know what? I just feel led to pray, because this is near the birth of Jesus. And
amen,
you know what?
Amen.
Let's just, Jesus, Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to this earth. Thank you for sending him to save us from our sins, to bring peace between you and us, God. I pray that people would choose to follow you, Jesus, and give their lives to you this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And if you're looking for a church to go to on Christmas Eve, Revolution Church has a Christmas Eve service, 5:30 or 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
At the 5:30 service, we're going to have a special kids thing going on. And at the 7 o'clock service, everyone's together. So if you're an adult and you have a young child and you'd like them to be having their own cool party while you do church, come to 5:30.
Right.
If you want everyone to be together, come to 7 o'clock.
Because that's the way it's going to be.
But you got to come. That's the rule. Whatever you do, you got to come on Christmas Eve.
Yes, please do. We'd love to have you.
Go to revo.church. That's revo.church. www. Online at revo.church. And you can also go to truthrevolution.tv and we'll get you out to revo.church.
There you go.
So let's start with this, Dave. Mm. Are you ready for some cool Christmas myths?
Let's throw it down, man.
All right. Myth number one.
We are taught that Mary and Joseph arrived at an inn.
Yeah.
But it was so full, they had to stay in a stable.
Okay. Now that's what I've been taught since I was a little tiny boy.
Yeah. And that's, you know, when you see the little nativity scene, that's pretty much what it depicts. Correct?
Yes, exactly. Now, the question is the manger scene of Joseph and Mary going to a hotel, but there wasn't enough room for them accurate?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe not.
Emphasis on the maybe not.
All right, tell, man.
All right, the word translated inn or hotel doesn't actually mean hotel.
Really?
Yeah, this was written in Greek, okay? And kataluma is the Greek word there. It's used in Luke 22:11. It's used in Mark 14:14 to refer to the upper room that Jesus ate a dinner in. He wasn't at a hotel.
Right.
Listen, okay, this is Luke 22:11. And say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where's the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Now, what's interesting here is when you think about Jesus eating the Last Supper, when you look at the paintings, no one's ever painted a picture of Jesus at Holiday Inn eating in one of their banquet halls.
Well, you can't really tell. It's got a real long table.
It does have a real long table. Yeah, it's true. I guess so. But, you know, generally speaking, no one's like, Motel 6, they left the light on for Jesus.
Right?
We think, well, there's just some guy and they just went to his guest room.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same Greek word. Mary and Joseph were actually looking to stay in a guest room. It doesn't mean hotel.
And that's kataluma.
Now think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Why were they going to Bethlehem?
For the census.
For the census, exactly. The census required everyone to go to their
hometown.
Thank you very much. If you're going to your hometown, there's a good chance you have
Family
there. I love it that you read my mind. So they're going to their hometown where they probably have family.
Mm-hmm.
Relatives probably have a guest room. I have a cousin staying with me right now. He just got into town this week.
Yeah.
And he's staying in our guest room.
Oh, you didn't turn him away?
No, I didn't make him sleep in a hotel stable. Okay, but
oh, no, that's what it was. He went to the Holiday Inn, and there wasn't any room there, so they turned him away. Now he's staying with you.
You could just shut your big yapper.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, no, right, but you get the point. Like when a friend comes or a guest comes or a family member comes,
they stay with you.
Exactly, they stay with you. And when we read that this word in the Bible was not hotel,
right,
it was just guest room, we think, oh, well, wait a minute, why do we assume it was a hotel? It's weird. I don't know why. Relatives probably had a guest room. It says there wasn't room in the guest room for them.
Right.
You know, probably like Aunt Janine was already there and she'd already unpacked her suitcase.
Right, because everybody's coming into Bethlehem
for the census. And so Aunt Janine got it. Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't room in the guest room. So what did they have to do? They had to stay where the animals were. But, you know, furthermore, would you read Luke 10:34?
He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to the inn, and took care of him. That's the Samaritan story.
Yes, that's a good Samaritan story that Jesus told, and it says he took him to an inn.
Right.
This is the word for hotel in the Greek language. It is not the same Greek word as Mary and Joseph went to a guest room.
Right, this one's Pandokian?
Right, close enough. And this is actually an inn. Mary and Joseph did not stay at an inn. Are you hearing me? Plus, here's a couple other facts. Inns were only on the main roads.
Okay.
Jerusalem to Jericho. There were not inns near Bethlehem.
Right. All right. Give us a kind of a geographic story or lesson. Bethlehem is not a main city at all.
No, it was rather little. Mm-hmm. And there just weren't hotels or inns near Bethlehem.
Right.
It was primarily a Jewish town. In the Roman towns, Jericho, Jerusalem, where there was lots of big Roman presence, those had hotels. Inns were used by Romans and by foreigners. Inns and hotels were also not used by Jewish people. Huh. So there weren't inns or hotels near Bethlehem. But even if there were, Mary and Joseph probably wouldn't have used it because they wanted to stay in the same places as the Romans.
Right.
That would have been immoral for them to do, and they would have thought it was.
And there was family there, so why wouldn't they stay with the family?
And they had a family.
Yeah, back to that again.
And the Bible doesn't even say they were at a hotel.
Right.
So really, there's no reason at all to think about a woman or to think about Mary and Joseph staying in a hotel, especially for a woman about to give birth to stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
That would have been unthinkable back then.
Right. And you would think family would have been like, oh no, you can't stay at a hotel even if they were going to.
Exactly.
You have to stay here.
Thank you. So that's our first Christmas
Christmas myth
debunked.
Right,
that's right. Okay, there's one myth gone. Now, are you ready for myth number two?
I am.
You look like you're confused.
I was for just a second.
Like what? Did we have the commercial break already?
Yeah, that's
no,
what I thought.
We just did something awesome. Raw.
All right.
Myth
number two. Jesus was born on December 25th. That's his birthday, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's the real deal here? Luke 2:8.
Says, and there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
Mm.
They probably were pretty cold.
Because it was the middle of the winter.
Yeah, middle of the winter.
No, shepherds only let their flocks graze at night during warm seasons.
And that makes sense, because how else would you graze? You wouldn't graze on the frozen ground, right?
During the cold seasons, they grazed and were out during the day, not at night. So Christ was probably born in a warm season like summer, not a cold one like winter.
You're just turning everything on its head, Jeff.
Yeah, this is really screwed up. I told you guys not to listen to this show this week. Don't be mad at me. This is your fault. You listened.
Right.
In fact, the early Christians actually chose December 25th because that was the supposed birthday of a false god during the pagan festival of Rome, the feast of the goddess Brutus.
Right. I often have arguments, friendly arguments with my atheist friends that say, they stole December 25th. And it's like, yes, they did.
Yeah, they did. That's right.
Well, that's why it's false. And I'm like, no, they stole it because they're trying to take that away from them.
Exactly. Early Christians placed Christmas on December 5th as a rival celebration to a false god. And guess what? We won.
Roar!
They weren't going along with the holiday. They were saying, who's the real God? Our God's the real God. It's not Brutus. It's Jesus Christ. So we're going to celebrate the real God's birthday.
Amen.
On December 25th. And so, no, he wasn't actually born on December 25th. Christmas was a pagan holiday, but so what? We won. Jesus' birth really wasn't December 25th. It was really June 3rd. But it's a... or something like that. It's a celebration of his birth.
I was just looking at you dubiously.
You look at me dubiously all the time, even when I say stuff correct.
Well,
I'm like, Jesus is spelled with a J, and you're like, better check that out. Give me your lexicon.
Right, ain't nothing wrong with asking questions, right?
All right. But that myth has now been destroyed.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, you know what we need to do?
A Bible contradiction?
We need to do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today comes from Isaiah and Matthew.
Yes.
They're going to be in the middle of the ring there fighting it out.
What's up? What's up?
All right, Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel."
Mm.
Matthew 1:23, however, says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. The Greek Septuagint, which Matthew used, translated it as "a virgin shall conceive and bear a son," but the Hebrew word alma means young woman of marriageable age, not a virgin. What is going on, Jeff?
So Isaiah says it was that uses the word that means young woman,
mm-hmm.
where Matthew uses the word that means virgin.
Right. So basically they kind of bent it a little bit to make it fit.
Yeah,
is what saying.
What's going on here? Well, essentially, this is true. I mean, the thinking atheist brought up something that was true today.
Really?
Yeah, they did. But they misapplied it. I mean, it's not a contradiction. Okay, we're going to use the D for dialect and the E for early meaning manuscript, a cracked acronym, C-R-A-C-K-E-D. The D stands for dialect, as in what genre is being talked about, what are the types of words that are being used. And in Isaiah, it does use the word young woman. It doesn't use the literal word virgin. But you have to understand, usually young women back then were synonymous with virgin.
As they should be.
As they should be.
Right.
Imagine if I told you, dude, I'm getting married to a girl and she is pure. She's untouched.
Mm-hmm.
You would know exactly what I meant.
Right.
And there would be no question about it. But 2,000 years from now, someone might be like, well, Jeff said that she was untouched, so maybe she had leprosy?
Oh, no.
Or like no one had ever touched her?
Right.
Like they wouldn't,
why would that be?
They wouldn't,
you know?
Yeah, right. If they're looking at the literal, instead of the sexual connotations, they're looking at the literal meaning.
Yeah, why wouldn't anybody touch her, man?
Right, what's up with that?
Something wrong with her.
Exactly, but Isaiah doesn't use the actual word virgin. He uses young woman. You know, she's mm-hmm. like a young lady. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so the dialect here, understanding that he's just using a word to get around and not be extremely blatant, that is a virgin. And Matthew's simply telling us in explicit terms, yeah, Isaiah was talking about a virgin, guys.
Right.
There you go. I'm laying it out there. Now, you also have to go E for early meaning in manuscripts. Okay, sometimes just reading it in context isn't good enough. You want to get back and you want to study in depth the Greek and Hebrew words. You want to study the earliest manuscripts because people copied these from one language to another.
Right.
And even before Jesus was born, okay, this is like 200 BC, before Christ came to earth, Jews were translating the book of Isaiah. And they were translating it into Greek. Okay, the Jews themselves were doing this. And when they translated Isaiah from Hebrew to Greek, instead of using the Greek word young woman, they actually used the Greek word for virgin.
I see. So it wasn't after Jesus was born that they tried to cram that into it.
No, it was beforehand.
Gotcha.
Why? Because they knew what Isaiah was gigging after.
Right.
When he was like, hey, yo, she's untouched, dude. She's a young lady. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, we get it, Isaiah.
Right.
When we translate this into Greek, we're just going to put the word virgin, okay?
Mm.
They understood that before Jesus even came. And so that's why Matthew says, yeah, virgin. It means virgin. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
So anyway, that's the answer for Bible contradiction today. Hey, we're almost to the break. We need people to consider donating to Truth Revolution.
Yeah, what you do, what you give keeps us on the air.
Yes. We got a massive gift this week.
Oh, right on.
We did. I didn't even talk to you about it yet.
You didn't.
But it was such a blessing. It was an amazing thing. You know what? We were on, just a couple years ago, we were on like one channel.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're another. And then a few more. And now we're on 13 channels. And we're on YouTube Live. And we're on podcasts on iTunes. Yeah. And we have the website.
And don't forget Access TV.
And we're on Access TV. So we're like, it's growing and blowing up. And
right. You
know what? We need some funds to do this. And you all make this happen. You're the ones that say, you know what? I want God to use them through my gift. And so I thank you for those of you who give. Just go to truthrevolution.tv if you can give.
Right.
Every dollar helps. Make sure this truth gets out to people who need the truth. So we're going to be right back. Going to debunk some other Christmas myths on the other side of this break. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than on the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. online at revo.church.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
online at revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
In his book, The Anabaptist Story, William Estrup says,
"For all Anabaptists, the Bible was the only rule of faith and practice for discipleship and the church. Biblical revelation was held to be progressive."
He continues, "The Old Testament was preparatory and partial, whereas the New Testament was final and complete. All of the scriptures, they insisted, must be interpreted Christologically, that is, through the mind of Christ."
We see scripture through the mind of Christ. If we believe Jesus was the creator of the universe,
which we do,
and if we believe that Jesus is the living word of God,
which we do,
and if we believe that Jesus is God in flesh,
which we do, then we should see all of scripture through the eyes of Jesus.
He is the creator and sustainer. He is the flesh on the word of God. So all of the scripture should be reconciled with what Jesus said instead of ignoring Jesus when varying values in the Bible seem to conflict.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
Yeah, we're talking about Christmas myths today.
Yes.
And not just the general Christmas myths. We're talking about Christian Christmas myths.
Yeah, this isn't like Rudolph. Yeah, we don't really have a red nose.
We don't want to take on all that, because if you're have any kind of intelligence above a child level, you should already know.
Little known fact, Rudolph actually had a chartreuse nose.
Chartreuse red or chartreuse green?
I don't even know what chartreuse means, to be honest with you.
Well.
So.
What you just said. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to
it. I'm sorry. Yeah,
you absolutely added nothing to the conversation.
Someone was about to donate to the radio show, right, and then they heard me say that, and they're like, no!
Oh, you blew it.
Probably a bad idea. No. All right, but we
need to get him the help he needs. Please donate.
Thanks for listening. We're going to get back. We got four more Christmas myths to give. Mm-hmm. All right, myth number three.
Myth number three, Joseph and Mary arrived to Bethlehem late at night.
Okay, let's just be blatantly honest here.
Okay,
we use the CRACT acronym, and like the first C stands for context. You got to read the whole context. Yeah. And the second C stands for revealed by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The A stands for the author's intention. Mm-hmm. The C stands for credibility. The K stands for knit together. The E stands for early meaning manuscripts. The D stands for dialect. You know, there is one letter that I didn't put in there.
Okay.
The letter I. okay. which stands for inserting your own stupid stuff. Okay. Like, why do we do... people say they arrive late at night. They show this image of Joseph and Mary walking into the hotel. And
it's late.
There's
no
room. Right? It was late. But it doesn't... Nowhere does the Bible say they got there late at night.
Hey, let me tell you how they arrived at that assumption.
Okay.
Because anybody who's done a lot of traveling, like I had when I was growing up,
yeah,
we would usually drive all day, and we'd show up at the hotel at night trying to get a room at the inn.
Yeah.
No vacancy. Why? Because everybody already took it up. We were late.
Okay.
It was late at night.
Okay, I'll grant you that. Okay. I'll grant you that. Maybe it wasn't, maybe we don't need the letter I anyway. Right. But the point, they were not driving on road trips. See, we have vehicles, and so we're inserting our culture onto theirs. Yeah. And so what we actually want to do is use the letter C for cultural context. Mm-hmm. Okay, their cultural context was they didn't have automobiles that went 70 miles an hour. They could not go from one city to another city in an hour.
Right.
It took them a day to walk. Days. They would go maybe 10 or 15 miles in a whole day. That's it, 10 or 15 miles. Right. I could not make it from our town to the next town barely in one day.
Right, it's like now we'd go to Wichita and it's nothing. Yeah. Back then it'd be like, oh, I gotta go to Wichita?
Right.
I'll be back in a week.
Yeah, which for our listeners online and in Ohio.
It's only 90 minutes away.
It's, an hour and a half away from here. But, I mean, that would have taken them a lot longer. I mean, that would have been days and days. And furthermore, traveling at night was dangerous. If you consider they only go 10 or 15 miles a day and they don't want to travel at night because it's dangerous because of bandits on the road, there is no way they would have arrived like late at night.
Right.
They would have planned this. I'm Joseph. I have a pregnant wife and I am traveling on small roads where bandits are and we can only go 10 to 15 miles a day. I am not leaving late afternoon and going, let's just push to the next city, baby.
Right. Right? Not like we currently do. Right,
right, exactly. So that Christmas myth is done. All right.
All right. Myth number four. The innkeeper had no alternative but to put Mary and Joseph in the stable at night.
Okay. There were no stables then.
There weren't?
No.
So that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah. I mean, sheep were protected in stone walls. Mm-hmm. Other animals were brought into the house at night. Let me rephrase. I said there was no stables then. Where they were and what they were doing, there weren't stables for those purposes. All right. I don't know where we got that they got put in a stable. I think what happened is says they laid him in a manger. Mm. And so we were like, oh, it's a manger. Well, mangers for horses. Right. And horses are in stables. And so they lived in a stable. But that's not actually what happened. Yeah. Okay, they were brought, those animals were brought into a home at night. And the manger was in the home. And so, we're going to get to that a little bit more. But they were not put inside a stable. So that Christmas myth is
busted.
Myth number five.
Mary gave birth to Jesus the night they arrived.
Okay.
Boy, they like slid into home plate just in time.
He was like, come on, Mary, we got to do 20 miles today. And they run in there and they're like, no room in the inn. Like, quick, get to the stable because Jesus is falling out.
Right. That's probably why she had the baby right when they arrived, because he was pushing her too hard on the road.
That is correct.
Whatever.
So what actually happened was they got there and then we don't know. We don't know if they were there for a month. We don't know if they were there for 6 months. Mm-hmm. We don't know if she did give birth that first day. We just don't know. All Luke says, and the author Luke, he says, while they were there, the days were completed.
While they were there.
So all we know is she had birth while they were there.
Right. And who knows how long the census took. It wasn't one of those things that is like took a day and everybody goes around, hey, take out your phone and do this with, download this app. And everybody push the button. You'll know where you're at.
Right. I mean, they had apps back then, but they were really expensive. And so Joseph probably couldn't have afforded it anyway. And so that's...
Thank you.
All right.
I can't reach the button, so you had to do it for me.
We're going to do one more, but before we do one more, we're going to talk about...
Read a book!
Okay.
We have a book today called The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team. If you work in a corporate area, if you work at a church, if you work for a nonprofit, this is a good book.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Chiefs. The five
dysfunctions. Yeah, the Chiefs have all five dysfunctions, right. Probably. No, this book is really good. It's by Patrick Lencioni. And it talks about when you've got a team, like when you have a board or a ministry team or whatever it might be, there are dysfunctions in your team that cause problems to happen, that cause things not to get done the way it should get done. Really quickly, like the first dysfunction is an absence of trust. The team doesn't trust each other. They haven't built those trust relationships. So it causes dysfunction too, a fear of conflict. Like, what if we argue? That'd be bad. And then that moves to number three, a lack of commitment from the team members. And then number four, an avoidance of accountability to dysfunction number five, an inattention to results. So if you've got a team on your church, if you've got a church board, if you've got a ministry team, if you've got a nonprofit, if you've got even stuff at your work, a team of people, and it's not performing like it should, most likely, it's dealing with one of these five dysfunctions or more than one of these five dysfunctions. And so the book, again, is called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. It's not a Christian book. It is a secular book, but it's got truth in it.
Right. Well, it's not saying that non-Christian books don't necessarily have to be, useless, right?
right. No, actually, I make a habit not of just reading Christian books, but also non-Christian books. Mm-hmm. I mean, they contain truth, too, so there's no reason not to. It's just a really good book. It's been very useful to our ministry here at Revolution. And so, yeah, just want to say if you are looking for a book to read and you want to make your teams better, do it.
Read a book!
All right.
All right, now I forget what myth we were on. Something
myth
about stables
six.
And...
Well, we had just finished myth number five.
Oh, yeah.
Mary
didn't
giving
give birth
the night they arrived.
Okay.
Okay?
Myth number six.
Mary was alone in a stable when Jesus was born.
Okay. Was he
Where
alone
was
in a stable?
Joseph?
Well, you see, he downloaded a free app called...
All right, just stop right there.
Okay. Joseph, look, in middle or lower class homes, there were three parts. Okay. There was a family room, there's a place for the animals at night, and there's an extra room partitioned off from the family, which was the guest room. Mm-hmm. And the whole family, everyone was in the same house. Now, Mary and Joseph, we know there was not room in the guest room. So they weren't allowed to stay in the guest room. They probably weren't allowed to stay in the family room. Maybe it was full too. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they placed Jesus in a manger. They were in the room where the animals were at night.
Right.
I mean, you might call it another family room. And so they actually did stay in the same room inside a home, though, where the animals were at night. So Mary and Joseph were not by themselves in a stable and everyone else was off doing their own thing. They were not all alone. And then the Magi showed up. And no, there was probably family there. Like Jesus' great-grandfather might have been right there.
Right.
Mary's dad might have been like, aha, that a boy, Joseph.
Right. After all, their family was coming to Bethlehem for the census.
Exactly. So probably the whole family was there as long as they gave birth within a reasonable amount of time when everybody was there.
Right.
And, we don't even know how soon they got there. They might have gotten there a month before the census.
Right.
We don't even know. So that myth has been completely destroyed.
And that's the thing. Really, if you were told by the king that he wants to do a census, you don't dawdle. Maybe try and get there. With plenty of time to spare.
Right. Yeah. But these Christmas myths bring us to the idea that as Christians, a lot of times we insert stuff onto the Bible.
Right.
When what we should be doing is extrapolating information from the Bible. There's two words that I really like. One's called exegesis and the other is called eisegesis.
Okay.
Now, it's not Jesus like J-E-S-U-S. Mm-hmm. Exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S, is exegesis is where, for instance, tell me something about the Chiefs.
Oh, well, they haven't actually thrown a pass to one of their wide receivers for a touchdown this year.
Okay. Now, I'm going to exegete what they've just said.
Okay.
They haven't thrown a pass to one of their wide receivers this year. So
For a touchdown. Right.
So what I'm going to exegete from that is they didn't actually have any wide receiver add 6 points to his score sheet. They didn't have I'm going to draw some facts from that. Okay,
pretty much you're right on right now.
If I did eisegesis, I'm reading stuff into it. So if I'm going to eisegete to what Dave just said, I'm going to say, oh well, what that means is they don't have wide receivers capable of catching now.
That might be right, too.
That might be right, too, but it may not be right. What it might mean that every single defense they played had an extremely strong pass defense.
Right.
And so the difference is, when you're reading the Bible, you want to pull stuff out of it that you know is true, that it says. You don't want to assume stuff and put it on the text.
Right.
And so when I read, hey, Jesus said this, I go, well, what did he mean? What did he mean? Not, what do I assume he's saying to me?
That makes sense. We don't want to do that.
We don't want to eisegete. We want to exegete.
Amen.
So, all right. Consider donating to Truth Revolution. You do make this show happen, and without you, this show won't happen. We're serious about this. We do need some more donations to make this show go forward. Thanks for listening to the podcast, the radio show, the YouTube Live, or on Access TV.
That's a lot of stuff.
Have a Merry Christmas. And coming out to Revolution Church, Christmas Eve, 5:30 or 7 o'clock.